The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, reports have come into us about clothing banks in this country overflowing. And one of the reasons they are overflowing, well, there's a few reasons. I mean, people treat them like trash bins a little bit. But one of the reasons as well is the proliferation of fast fashion. Megan Scully, the freelance broadcaster, is with us. Megan, do people have a bad attitude towards these, towards the clothing bins in particular, but also just the kind of whole, what we call it, the whole industry of reusing clothes, when we include charity shops and that as well?
Well, it's interesting there because you say clothing bins, and I think that's exactly what people treat them as, is a bin. And they're often, I find,
I call them?
Clothing banks.
Okay.
But I often find that they are usually in areas such as like the back of car parks with the bottle banks. So then therefore they look like they're dumpsters. And I've seen people throw what look like pretty good clothes into them. And I think there's this kind of attitude that, oh, sure, I'll just drop them off to the bank and it's the right thing to do. But like realistically, what we need to do is stop all this consumption of clothing. Like I'm guilty of it. We all are. And it's hard to be very sustainable because we are just surrounded by clothing and brand new being sold to us on social media. And it is hard to become more sustainable in that sense. But actually, the whole clothing disaster is becoming one of the greatest climate issues in the world.
Because of what? The sheer volume of carbon that's kind of consumed or that's kind of regurgitated out or spewed out into the atmosphere in the manufacture of all of these cheap garments, is it?
In the manufacturing of them, I guess the carbon footprint of them coming all around the world. Also, they're being dumped. Like we've seen scenes around the world. And I think as well, you can actually look on in satellites and Google and you can zoom in. The Atacama Desert in Chile, you can just see piles and piles of clothing. Same over in parts of Africa, you'll see them washing up in the waste, in the water. And a lot of these clothes you see just contain plastics. And also, there has been studies shown that a lot of these cheap clothes contain like chemicals and toxins. And then there's people who are trying to sort all these clothing out. But what's happening is in the Western world, this clothing is being literally dumped into third world countries. And it's just that problem is like pushed on to them.
And the issue then is it that we've all kind of been brainwashed to keep buying new clothes all of the time. It's just this kind of consumer world that we live in. Or that the clothes that we buy is of such poor quality that you have to keep replacing it all the time. Or is it a bit of both?
It's a bit of both. And I think the first issue is obviously cheap clothing from cheap manufacturers, which we won't name them now, but everyone knows who they are. And they are just this kind of idea of like, you know, getting new clothes all the time. And then as well, the issue, I suppose, now is like the traditional marketing is kind of gone, where a lot of clothing stores are using influencers and social media to get to you. So I even find my feed is clogged with, this like week's delivery or this is what I got or who wants to see my shopping haul. And it's all these brand new clothes and this season's clothes. And what were they calling it there? It was like when it was going from summer to autumn, it was like, oh, get these like transitional pieces before you bring in the winter
transitional pieces.
Yeah, so
Brilliant. This
is what's happening. So then people are kind of going, oh, I must. And I find
so
sometimes
there's not just
like,
four seasons, there's the four transitions
between each season. So
wow.
It's like, oh, it's just got a little bit chillier now. So maybe you should put this scarf on. And it's just kind of this, I suppose the attitude there is like, I am quite good when it comes to sustainable clothing. I'm not sure if you've noticed my bright shirt, but this was from the men's section in a charity shop back home. Turns out it belonged to a guy that I went to school with. He's now in Australia. And his mother dropped it in when she was clearing out his wardrobe.
And how did he find out? How did you find out it was his?
Because I put up a picture of it saying, look at this shirt I got from the shop. And then the mother spotted it and sent it to him in Australia. And he's like, oh my God, I'm delighted to see it's got a new home.
Brilliant. Miriam Keegan is with us as well as a sustainable fashion educator. Miriam, what do you do to help people avoid this kind of circle of just chucking stuff out and buying new cheap stuff to replace it?
Hi, Kieran. Yeah, so what I do mainly in my work is actually now in human rights in the fashion industry. And we work with different brands around the world to improve the conditions that workers are in the factories around the supply chains. But at home, what I do is I work with different brands around the country. But my main thing is to kind of educate everyday people to learn how to sew so that they can then hold on to what they have, sew something new or upcycle something or even mend it, because, you know, clothes are more than just fabric. They carry memories. They have, they're like heirlooms that are passed down from generation to generation. And I think when people realize that, you know, the clothes that they wear is the fashion that they express about who they are, I think when we reconnect with that, we're enjoying, I suppose, the idea of what the essence of fashion is. Mm. So for me, it's about really educating people about, okay, yeah, there's a lot of doom and gloom and there's a lot of negative facts. The fact that we have we have enough clothes on this planet for the next six generations. And also in Ireland, we throw out about 170,000 tons of textiles per year, which is about 35 kg per person, and the EU average being 26. So like we do have, you know, something that's quite overwhelming, but I like to look at it from a different lens of not just guilt or just doom and gloom, but actually like let's look at it from a creative perspective. And now I work with schools and I've been teaching teachers around Ireland this summer on how to connect it to the education, like to the curriculum, and
yeah,
and even themselves learning how to sew as well. So yeah, it's about, I think, looking at it from a different angle for me.
And to what extent do you find then going around to schools and everything that there's a generational divide, that maybe kind of older teachers know exactly the type of stuff you're talking about how to get clothes to last and how to mend them and how to repair them or how to change them or tweak them or what have you. And then younger teachers, and in particular the students, don't have a clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, like, I mean, my generation, like I was teaching for 5 years and I'm out of it about the same amount of time now. So, you know, we were never taught really how to sew in school unless you maybe did home ec. You know, there's the older generation of teachers then again that know how to sew, but I don't think they have the connection between that and sustainability. So these courses that I've been like, teaching is about kind of really showing them that, you know, we can use maths, we can use history and teach about the incredible, you know, history that we have in Ireland about needlecraft alone, like looking at Mount Mellick embroidery, for example, is an indigenous stitch that comes from Mount Mellick in County Leash. And, you know, nobody knows how to use it anymore. So it's about just kind of being able to look at the creativity side of it and, you know, talk about the big issues that are at hand, but looking at it from a more joyous kind of perspective, I think.
Megan, I think as well what people sometimes suspect is that the more expensive clothing is coming out of the same kind of factory in the same street in Shenzhen province in China, but it's just got a label on it and it adds a premium. And they might be more inclined to spend a few quid if they knew it was better quality. I mean, is it a truism that the more expensive it is, the better quality it is?
Not necessarily. I think sometimes it's down to good marketing and good branding. Like I see in my mother's charity shop, like we will get every label you can think of, and like some really good stuff as well, like the expensive stuff and then maybe the more high street stuff. And often the high street stuff will actually sell faster because it's more maybe recognised, or, you know, someone knows that label. Whereas sometimes the kind of, I suppose, more high-end brands mightn't actually move as fast. And I just think as well, like it is probably the high-end brands, or not even just the high-end ones, but like the big, huge brands that are like world renowned, like the big sports brands and the people who have like who are the biggest ones in the game, like they're the ones who probably can actually change the trajectory of this because they have the control and the power. Like you often see the ones that will come up and affiliated links and whatnot on Instagram and social media, and they're the ones who can change. And you know, you often see some shops say that they've got this return policy about you know, clothes.
But those big sports brands, and everyone knows who we're talking about. I suspect they're the very ones that people are thinking of when they say that's coming out of the same factory in China.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, because I think a lot of them, it's hard enough to find out what comes from where. And then like there's even, I mean, Kim Kardashian's brand as well, like that's I think one of the fastest selling brands in the world, and like she I think has yet to sign some kind of document to let us all know where everything comes from. So like there's a lot of kind of confusion out there as to where our clothes actually come from. So unless you know the designer themselves and know like who you're buying from, and unless they're very transparent about where it's coming from, you can bet your bottom dollar that it's coming from the same place as the stuff from the cheaper stores.
Megan Scully, freelance broadcaster. Miriam Keegan, sustainable fashion educator. Thank you both very much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.